Because the Broadway gets wider and wider and wider and wider. And I was reading an article this morning. Actually, it was late last night I read it. And it was an article on Joel Osteen. And what Joel preaches is in total opposition to what Paul, John, Paul, Peter, and all the other disciples preached. He doesn't preach against sin. And what he preaches rebukes the teaching of the apostles. And old Joel preaches universalism, that everybody's accepted no matter what. And that's just not the Bible, amen? You can teach that, but that's not the Bible. And those out there that preach that prosperity message, that, you know, you can preach that, but that's not the Bible. I just believe in preaching the Bible. If you like it, fine. If you don't like it, fine. That doesn't matter to me. I'm not here for you to like it. I didn't get up here for you to like me either. Amen. I want you to enjoy yourself in the house of God. But my experience is when you come to the house of God and the preaching goes on, usually you don't just cheer and have a fit. Usually it's like, ow, that hurt. Amen. Usually when the preaching's right and the Holy Ghost of God's moving, people, you know, they get dealt with by God. And you may feel good later, but at the moment, you know, when God shows you something and God smites you in your heart, it's like, ow, I, you know, that hurt. So, you know, that feel-goody stuff, it may work for somebody, but it don't work for me because it ain't the Bible. But anyway, Hebrews chapter 6 this morning. Hebrews chapter 6, I want you to look at verses 17 through 19 with me. We're going to look at those verses. We're going to talk about it for just a minute, and then we're going to jump into the Gospel of John and be primarily over there. But I'll give you the title here in just a minute. Hebrews 6, 17 through 19. The Bible says, beginning in verse 17, says, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." Now, how many of y'all got all that? Amen. Well, let's go back through it just for a second. Let's look at what it's saying. God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. God, who's the heirs of promise? That's those who've believed on the only begotten Son of God. Those who've come in repentance and faith, trust in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse their sins away. God wants you to abundantly see something. And not only that, he's made some promises to us, and he wants to show us the immutability of his counsel. Well, what does that mean? Immutability means it's unchangeable. What God has determined or predetermined before the world began can't change. God's unchangeable. So when God promises something, it's an unchangeable promise. Amen? And it says he confirmed it by an oath. Not only did he have this counsel and decide upon something, God made something so, he confirmed it with an oath. He promised on top of his promise that says that by two immutable things. So God's counsel is immutable and God's oath is immutable. That means they're unchangeable. I said that last week. If God, and I'll say it again, if God got any better or if God got any worse, then the whole material universe would go poof and disappear. Because God made it and God's perfect. God cannot change. Amen. That's something to rest upon, that God never changes. God doesn't change with the times. God doesn't change with society. Amen? God is God. He doesn't change. Thank God for that. Amen? And he has told us here in Hebrews, he's confirmed it. He's confirmed it with his counsel and an oath. And it says that by two immutable things, verse 18, in which it was impossible for God to lie. we might have a strong consolation. That means a strong comfort in our souls who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Amen. We ran to Jesus for salvation. Amen. That's who he's talking to. Those Jesus, amen. That's the anchor in which my whole life revolves around. Which if you don't have that, you don't have an anchor. You're adrift. Amen. Says, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. It ain't going anywhere. And which entereth into that within the veil. Amen. Hey, that's our connection to him. Praise God. Like a chain from my heart to heaven. Amen. I'm anchored. So is that these promises that God has made are all founded in his eternal counsel, and this counsel of his is an immutable counsel, words, but the promise of the blessedness which God has made to believers, all these promises God's made, it is the result of his eternal purpose. God has an eternal purpose. He has a plan for each and every life on planet Earth. He has a purpose for everything that's happened. Amen? Now listen, the devil works within that purpose, within that plan, and some of that stuff is a little bit hard for you to get a grasp on, but the devil has been at work trying to thwart God's plan, and God has a plan to work around the devil. Amen? He's going to have his will. Amen. God didn't make robots. God didn't make people that would have to believe on him and just be like mindless robots. Yes, Lord, we'll do what you want. He wants people to love him on purpose. He wants you to choose to love him. Amen. He shows you who he is. He reveals himself to you, but he won't make you trust him. God has simply laid the promises out there for you to take hold of, and if you don't, that's your own fault. Amen. The Bible tells us that he gave every man a measure of faith. Amen. So what I'm trying to show you here is God has made some promises. I'll just cut to the chase. God has made some promises to us. And I mean, I don't know how many of y'all have been let down by man. Somebody's promised you something and they didn't follow through and it really let you down. Amen. Well, I mean, that's all of us. Let me get a little more personal. How many of y'all have made a promise to somebody and let somebody else down? Amen. That hits close to home. Long and short of it is, man is full of flaws. Man's full of sin. Man lets you down. Thank God, God doesn't let you down. And when God makes a promise, He doesn't fail. I saw something. Watched something interesting. This really doesn't have a whole lot to do with the message, but it's on my mind. I watched a little short video. I think it was last night, maybe this morning. It was this man in a dentist chair, and the dentist got done with a procedure, and the man came to, and dentist said, "Everything's good, everything all good." And he said, "Well, thank God." And the dentist looked at him and said, "God, what does he have to do with it?" He said, "You still believe in that outdated stuff?" He said, "Well, of course I do." He said, "Why wouldn't I?" He said, "How can you believe in God when there's all this wars and death and all these horrible things that happen all around the world all the time? How can you possibly believe in a God?" And the man said, "Well, I don't believe in dentists." He said, "Well, what do you mean you don't believe in dentists?" He said, "I just got through working on you." He said, "Well, how can I believe in dentists when there's so many people with bad teeth?" Dentist said, "Oh." The light came on, amen. Praise God. You know, the atheist says, "I don't believe in God, therefore he doesn't exist." I say, "I don't believe in atheists, amen, therefore they don't exist." So, anyway. But God, when he promises something, God doesn't lie. God cannot change, and we can rest in that. Amen? And you know, the longer I live, the more I see the Bible unfolding before my eyes. Amen? Everything God has said is unfolding before my eyes. Folks, I don't know how close you pay attention to the news, but what's happening right now in our world with, you know, Obama wavering back and forth as to whether or not he wants to bomb Syria. They're pecking around a little too close to Israel for my comfort, amen. There's a little bit too much stuff going on today over there in the Middle East for my comfort. I'm telling you, you know, I don't know whether you saw Vladimir Putin. He was over there recently at the Wailing Wall, and there was an interview, and I watched the interview with him, and he sounded like he'd been reading the King James Bible, which is odd to me. But he made some comments, and he said, you know, he realized the significance of all this and that all of it was regarding that Temple Mount. He knew that was what it was all the turmoil was over. It was over who gets that mount. He understands more than the average Baptist does. And isn't that something? You know, I mean, I'm not trying to get all off into politics, but, you know, the Russians, they don't put up with sodomy. They don't put up with that stuff. I mean, they sound more American than America does these days, which is scary. Amen. But don't believe him. He's a sneaky, wily sucker. All right. But let's get into the Bible this morning. I want to talk to you this morning on the I wills of Jesus. Some things where Jesus said, I will. He made some promises, and we're going to look at them this morning. And thank God we know that when God says something, he's not just talking. He means business. So let's go to the Lord this morning in a word of prayer and ask God to meet with us. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning, Lord, that we can come in confidence of your word. Lord, we know that when you've promised us, Lord, that you mean business, that you can't change. Father, we're thankful that you can't change. Father, we're thankful you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we're thankful where your word says, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. Lord, we take comfort in that. We rest in that. And we glory, Lord, in the fact that you are Almighty God, Lord, that you cannot change. You're always the same. Father, thank you. Lord, thankful that your word is true. Lord, I pray that you meet with us this morning. Holy Ghost of God, work in this place. Move in this place. Take the word of God as that two-edged sword that it is and work in the hearts of man and do surgery in hearts. Lord, we just pray, Father, that your will and your way be done this morning. That your glory come forth and manifest. Bless the preaching of the word. Lord, help this preacher this morning. I need the power of the Holy Ghost. Give me unction and give me power. And Lord, pray that, Lord, that you'd cleanse me of anything that might hinder, Lord. Forgive my sins and use me this morning for the glory of God. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood. And we'll give you all the glory and the credit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The I wills of Jesus. I've got about six of them I want to share with you this morning, if you'll permit me. And the first one I want to talk to you about is found in John 6:40, if you turn there in your Bible. John 6:40, the greatest I will that Jesus ever gave is the I will of salvation. Amen? The I will of salvation. John 6:40. I'm going to turn over. I'll give you just a second to find it. John 6:40. John chapter 6 and verse 40, the Bible says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I want to look at a couple things in this verse of Scripture, in this I will that Jesus has promised us. He said, this is the will of him that sent me. Amen? Hey, that everyone which seeth the Son. Amen. If you're going to be saved, number one, you're going to have to see the Son of God. You're going to have to understand who Christ is. He's not just a historical figure. Amen. I believe in George Washington. How many of y'all believe in George Washington? I mean, we know he lived. Okay? He's a historical figure, and I give mental assent to that fact. I agree with historians that there was a man named George Washington. I don't know about the cherry tree incident. For sure, but I know that he did cross the Delaware, and he was the first president of the United States, and he was a great statesman, and had a wife named Martha, and you know, He was a historical figure. But a lot of people think of Jesus that way, too. He's just a historical figure. He was a good man. He was a teacher. He was a prophet. He was a this. He was a that. But I'm going to tell you something. Unless you see him as the Son of God, unless you see him as your Redeemer, unless you see him as your Savior, he can do nothing for you. John 1:14, John said, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." We saw him. "The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." He's not just some historical figure. He is the Word made flesh. He is the embodiment of the Word of God. He is God the Son. He is deity. He is the Almighty in a robe of flesh. He came to die for sinners. He came to pay the debt that their sins had laid before God that God could not look upon. That's why a man can't go to heaven on his good works, because his sins override those good works. God did not come to save you from something else. He came to save you from your sin. "Everyone which seeth the Son." 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness." Amen. There was no big bang. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. There was no little amoeba floating around in primordial soup. Amen. And just happened to get a blister or something and an eye popped out. Hey, that garbage is garbage is garbage is garbage. Amen. There ain't no evolution. Amen. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. The same God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God wants to show lost sinners that Jesus is the only hope they have for salvation. Jesus said, he said, "I will, I will, I will." But you know what? You have to say, "I want you. I see you." Amen. They say, you say, "How do I do that?" The Holy Ghost of God has to show you. I can't show you. I can tell you, but I can't show you. Only God can show you. The Bible says, "Everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him," believeth on him. There's something powerful in those words. Believeth on him. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily," Jesus said, "I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him which sent me hath everlasting life." Let me tell you, there's something to that believing on. You take this chair. I've done this so many times. You take this chair. How many of y'all believe this is a chair? Raise your hand. Okay, it's a chair. No trick to it. It's just a chair. And I believe it's a chair too. So we're believing in the chair. Okay, I'm not sure who the manufacturer. Oh, it's Kruger. I don't know Kruger, but they made a good chair, I guess. It worked for J.D. a while ago, or Sam. So I'm going to believe on the chair now. Okay? Now, I believe in the chair at the moment, but I'm going to believe on the chair. There's a difference, and here's the difference right here. Right now, there is every bit of my weight, which is quite a bit, is on this chair. I have put my faith in this chair to keep me from hitting the platform. I'm trusting this chair. I'm depending on this chair. If I hit the floor, it'll be this chair's fault, not my fault. You understand what I'm saying? Some people just look at Jesus and say, "Oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe in him." Sure, but you're not willing to put the weight of your sins on him. You're not willing to trust him. You're not willing to depend. I'm going to tell you what happened to me. God showed me I was a sinner. God revealed in my heart that I had sinned against not other people, but God. God revealed to me that my sin was going to send me to an everlasting hell because I was wicked and because I was damned and condemned before God. It had nothing to do with man. It had to do with God. It doesn't matter. You don't matter as far as my sins are concerned. God's the only one that matters. He's the only one I've sinned against. He's the only one that matters. I'm His creation. He made me. I'm a sinner. I'm in a fallen state. God cannot, in perfection, cannot have me in His presence because of my sin. And He made a way for me to be able to come to Him. And that is that He let His only begotten Son die in my place. And He put His wrath on His only begotten Son in my place. Jesus was my substitute. He died there as a sacrifice for my wicked, heinous sins. And when God showed me that, I said, I don't want to just believe in Him. Hey, I want to believe on Him. And I put the weight of my sins on Jesus. And I said, basically what I was saying in my soul was, Jesus, if I go to hell, it'll be your fault because I'm trusting you. Amen? That pilot is in that fighter jet up in the air, and he sees that there's a collision coming, or this airplane's about to come apart. He puts all his faith in that little button that says eject. And that parachute that's packed in that seat. That's the only hope he's got, is that ejector button. If it don't work, it's over. I'm going to tell you something. He's much more than an ejector seat. He's much more than a fire escape. Amen. That's not all He is. Well, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Amen. Praise God. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't come in that door, you ain't coming at all. That's the only way in. Praise God. Hey, He said, listen, He said, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life. It's not everlasting until you do something wrong and lose it. It's everlasting. It means forever and ever without end. Hallelujah, I have eternal life right now. My eternal life has already started. It started the moment I trusted Christ and believed on Him to be my Savior. Amen. The Bible says He hath everlasting life, and get this, and shall not come into condemnation. There's no way I can go back into my fallen state before God, because Jesus paid it all. When He cried on the cross, it is finished. My sin was paid for. Hallelujah. There was nothing left that I had to do. He did it all. The Bible says, I shall not come into condemnation, but it's passed from death unto life. Amen. I never began to live until I got saved. That's when my life really began. Hallelujah. He said, I will raise Him up at the last day. He said, what does that mean? Well, when Lazarus, y'all remember Lazarus, Jesus' friend Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha, and Lazarus died, and they put him in a grave. They rolled a stone up in front of it. He was there for 4 days. The Lord knew he was in there. But you see, the Jews had a superstition that you know, if a man's in the grave beyond 3 days, there's no possible way he can be revived. So Jesus left him in there for 4 days just to prove a point. And Jesus went up to the stone. Jesus hollered into that grave. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus come walking out in his grave clothes, all bound up like a mummy. They had untied him. And they were hollering, no, no, behold, he stinketh, Lord, he stinketh. He's unrotted. But no, he wasn't stinky. Amen. Jesus didn't call out a stinking man. He called out a man that was alive. And before he did that, hey, listen, here's what he said to Martha. He said to her, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. He done told her that he'll live again, and she said, well, I know he'll live in the resurrection. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I'm going to tell you something. Hey, listen, I may go by the way of the grave and the skin worms may eat my body, but I'm going to tell you there's going to come a morning when the grave's going to open up and this old body's going to go out of it and it's going to be changed into a glorified body and it's going to be reunited with my spirit and I will ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I will. Amen. The I will of salvation. Number two, let me say to you, there's the I will of security. John 6:37, if you'll find that. John 6:37. The I will of security. I love this too. Amen. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, get this, I will in no wise cast out. Amen. Like I said a while ago, hey, he didn't give me something I had to make he made the down payment on. I got to keep up the note or I'd lose it. Hey, listen, I couldn't do a thing to get my salvation. and I can't do a thing to keep my salvation. Praise God, it ain't on me. It's on Him. I just want to tell you how good Jesus is this morning. That's what I want to tell you about this morning, is how good the Lord Jesus Christ is this morning. I want to brag on my Savior this morning, because it's not me, it's Him. The Bible says in Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." God says, hey, listen, right now you may be dirty, but I'm going to tell you something. Right now you may be stained, but listen to me. When Jesus' blood washes you, you will be white as snow, white as wool. And He said, you shall be. That's on and on and on and on and on and on. That's without end. That's a linear, I think it's a linear. I'm not a scholar in English, but I can tell you this. It means it goes on and on and on without end. John 10:28, one of my favorite verses in the entire King James Bible. Jesus said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I've used this illustration so many times, I don't know why there's a carpenter's pencil up here under the pulpit. I have no idea, but there's a carpenter's pencil. Huh? Well, it's been under there a long time, hasn't it? But it works good because it won't come apart like a pinwheel, amen? Listen to me. I've used this illustration so many times to show people eternal security. Listen to me. I tell them, look, it was once upon a time when you was falling toward hell. And if you had not come to Christ, you'd have fell right straight into hell when you died. But you called out to the only one that could save you from falling into hell, and He's caught you in His hand, in His nail-pierced hand. He's got you. He caught you. Amen. He saved you. That's what it means to be saved. You were going to fall into hell, and He saved you from hell. He saved you from where your sins were going to send you. And He said, "I give unto you eternal life forever and ever and ever and ever. And you shall never perish." That means you won't ever get out and fall into hell. I've heard so many Pentecostals and holiness folks and Church of God and Assembly of God say, "Well, it doesn't say I can't jump out." Don't put a question mark where God put a period. Don't try to untangle the Scripture to suit your doctrine. Amen. Trust God in what He said. It makes me so aggravated. They want to find that loophole. Quit digging for loopholes. He said they shall, I don't know how you get around eternal. Amen. You know what it says? "I give unto them eternal." What does eternal mean, y'all? Forever. Okay. How you going to do eternal? "And they shall never," what does never mean? Is there a way out of never? No. I mean, how you going to find a loophole? "They shall never perish." And I like this one. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And I always like to do this when I'm talking to somebody. See, and we're talking about eternal security, and I'm showing them this, and I say, you know, it says, "No man shall pluck them out of my hand." And I always ask them a few questions. I say, you know, is anybody you know stronger than Jesus Christ? And of course, the answer is no. I say, well, can anybody you know pluck you out of Jesus' hand? No. I said, is the devil stronger than Jesus Christ? Well, they may want to think he is, but hey, listen, the devil already lost. Yeah. Amen. I done read the book in the end. We win. Amen. That's why I sing every Sunday morning. I'm on the winning side. It's not because this is my favorite song. I got to sing it every Sunday morning. I just like to sing it. I like the devil to hear me sing it. Amen. I'm on the winning side. I want to remind him what a loser he is every Sunday morning. Amen. The devil can't pluck me out of Jesus' hand. And I look at the person I'm talking to. I say, well, you know what? That only leaves you down, doesn't it? You're the only one left. Are you stronger than Jesus? Well, of course not. So when are you going to be able to pull yourself out of Jesus' hand? So when are you going to hell if you're saved? Never. Pretty simple. Amen? Hey, the I will of security. Thank God there's some security. Thank God when he saved me, there's some security in that. Amen? I'm secure. And Jesus said so, and he can't change. And hallelujah, it's settled. Amen? Number three. I ain't going to hammer on this one because we've been here a lot lately. Thy will of satisfaction. In John 16, verse 7, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. But if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." He said, "I'm going to send you a Comforter." That's the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Jesus didn't go back to heaven and leave us on our own down here. He left us a Comforter who is exactly the same as himself. Amen. I have the satisfaction of having Jesus with me. Luke 24:49, the Bible says, "And behold," Jesus said, "and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Amen. Hey, listen, not only am I down here not alone by myself, but God has put his power into me in order to do the things that he's commanded me to do. I'm not down here helpless on my own without any power. God gave me his power. I just have to trust him and put myself in his hands and quit trying to be so stubborn and selfish and quit doing things my own way and thinking I got to have everything just so the way I want it and let God have me. And cry out for that power and God will give me all that I need. Amen. John 14:16-17, Jesus says, he said, "I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." He lives in me. Amen? There's some satisfaction in that, praise God. Amen? God Almighty lives within this body. See, a lost man can't understand that. That don't make sense. What do you mean God lives in you? You're not God. No, I'm not God. But God dwells with me. He lives in me. Amen. I'm his. He bought me. He paid for me. He shed his blood for me. He paid that price for me. I'm his. And he's put his own stamp of approval on his buying of me by placing himself inside of me. Hallelujah. God's good. I don't care what anybody says. God's good. He's incredibly good. Amen. Then there's the I will of shelter. Now, hold on. You don't like this one. Look here. And again, maybe you will, maybe you won't. Depends on where you stand on the issue. Matthew 28:19-20. You know what this one says if you've been in church very long. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to do all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen? You say, where's the I will in there? It's implied, I will be with you always. Now, how do I have him with me? Pretty simple. I got to obey him, do what he told me to. He said, "I'll be with you when you're doing what I tell you to do." Amen? Stay with me now. We're getting close to the end. John 14:21, he said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Did y'all hear what I said? Jesus said, "Hey, that's how I know you love me, because you do what I say." Love is expressed through obedience. Now, David, Alex, your son, right? Now, if he don't mind you, he ain't showing you he loves you very much, is he? But when he's a good boy and he does what you ask him to, you feel loved and appreciated. God's the same way. God's the same way. He's told us what to do. He's given us everything that pertaineth unto life. He loves us. And if we just ignore him and just do whatever we want to do and don't pay him no attention, he doesn't feel very loved. And he sure don't manifest himself in us. We sure don't feel his presence when we're, I guarantee you, when he ain't doing right, I don't know Alex, I don't know how Alex is, maybe the best kid in the world, may never done nothing wrong. But I can tell you this, if you tell him to do something and he does the wrong thing and he lies to you about something, I guarantee you he ain't going to be looking for you. He's going to be trying to get away from you. And my kids, I tell you, I know from experience that I got a whole bunch of boys. Amen. When a boy, hey, I can guarantee you, when they do wrong, they get scarce. Because they know daddy ain't stupid, he'll figure it out. And when he figures it out, there's trouble. Amen. That's the same way with us. See, but when we're doing right, when we're pleasing our Father, there's a desire for closeness. And God provides that closeness. Amen. He just told us. He said, look, you're doing what I'm telling you to do. I'm with you. He said, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Jesus said, I'll love you, my Father will love you. We'll show up. Hallelujah. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him. God said, I'll be there with you every step of the way. Hey, a father loves his son, tell him, son, I got you back. Amen. I'm with you. I'll be there for you. A father that's worth anything. Amen. I got your back, boy. You need anything, I'm there. Do anything in the world for you. Amen. That's what a daddy ought to be. God, hey, listen, the Bible says we cry, Abba, Father. That simply means daddy. God's a daddy. And he loves his children. But he most especially loves it when they're obedient. What is this obedience we're talking about? It's telling people that Christ died for sinners. It's sharing the gospel. It's not bottling up our faith and putting a lid on it, but letting it out, letting others know what we believe inside, letting others know that Christ died for sins and died for sinners. I will have shelter. Praise God. I have a shelter in the Lord. He's a shelter in the time of storm. Amen. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. There's the I will of summons. So what's a summons? Summons, when you get subpoenaed for court, you got to show up. Amen? I know a little something about that. Hey, I got to, by the way, y'all be praying for us. We got to go the 10th of this month. I ain't looking forward to it either. But I know God's going to fight the battle, so I'm not worried about it. Amen. It's all up to the Lord. But you know, when you get summoned to court, you have to go. Amen. It's a call. It's a, you be here. Amen. But the Bible says there's an I will of summons. I mean, the Bible teaches that. In John 12:32, here's what Jesus said. Now listen. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Jesus was talking about when they take me up and they nail me to that cross, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Now listen, I can stand up here, I can walk back and forth across this platform, I can holler, I can yell, I can do everything, beat on the pulpit, whatever. I can plead, I can cry, I can do anything that I could, but I can't show a person in their heart that they're lost and that they need to be saved. I can tell you, but I can't show you. All I can do is tell you. But I can tell you what God can do. God can draw. I don't know when it happened to you, and I don't know if it has happened to you, but I can tell you that when I was a 7-year-old little boy, God showed me I was lost. God showed me I was a lost sinner. And I don't know how old you were. How old were you, Brenna? 7. How old were you, Joanna? 13. How old were you, Haley? 10. How old were you, Patty? How old were you, Charlotte? How old were you, Alice? You don't know how old you were? How old were you, Miss Bellamy? How old were you, Thomas? 13. God drew. God called. God drew us. We didn't draw ourselves. God did it. Jesus said, I'll do it. Listen, but you know what? You have to preach the gospel. The Bible said, how shall they hear without a preacher? Not a pastor, a preacher. God wants us to lift him up. John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent him, sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 1:7, the same, that means John the Baptist, came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. 1 Timothy 2:6 says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Hebrews 2:9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Hallelujah! He tasted death for every man. He paid for the sins of mankind. And listen, there ain't nobody so bad that Jesus did not die for them. And there ain't nobody so good they don't need Jesus. I'm going to tell you this morning, if there is a hole in your soul that is crying out for Jesus if you don't have him. That's why men try to fill it with everything else. They take a Jesus-sized hole and they try to fill it with everything this world provides, and nothing satisfies. 1 John 2:2, the Bible says, and he is the propitiation for our sins. That big word, propitiation, it simply means that he appeases God's wrath. What Jesus did for us stops God's wrath toward our sin. He is the appeasement for our sins. Our sins made us the enemy of God. Hating God is what our sins have put us in the position of doing. Enemies. And Jesus, in one moment, one instant, can change all that. He takes that burden of sin, and it's gone forever. And he said, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Oh, if you're not saved, you need to be born again. And this last one's for the saints of God. Listen to me this morning. I'm almost done. There's the I will of surety. Let me read this verse, this passage to you, and you'll know where I'm going. John 14:1-3. Listen to what it says. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Praise God. The Lord Jesus gave that surety to his disciples. I'm going and I'm going to prepare a place, but I'm coming back for you. Amen. I thank God that when Jesus spoke those words, that he was speaking promise that can never be changed one way or the other. You say, well, but it's been so long since he's gone. You think he's still coming? Oh, yeah, he's still coming. He doesn't change. I wonder why he waited so long. I think it's just because God's so merciful. God's given sinners time to repent and believe. That's why. God, I believe God in his mercy looks down at this old wretched, wicked world, and he said, because my son gave his all for you, I'll give you time to repent. That's the only reason. I will come again. Acts 1:11. The scene is up on the Mount of Olives. Jesus has just gone away up into the clouds. And the angels said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Jesus said, I'm coming back. His angel said, he's coming back. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Christ said it. The angels said it. Paul said it. Amen. It's all over the Word of God. John said it in 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. But we shall see him as he is. Oh, he's coming back. He's coming back and we're going there. Revelation 21:22-23, and I'm closing. John said, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm so thankful that when God speaks, he doesn't just throw words out into the air. God speaks promises, and his promises are true. God cannot lie. And I'm telling you this morning, if the Holy Ghost of God is revealing to you that you are lost and that you need to be born again, the only thing you can do is turn to Christ and believe. There's no magic words. There's no magic formula. You simply must turn to him and believe. If you this morning, if God's revealed in your heart that there's a coldness that's been there, and you need to come this morning and put yourself on God's altar and lay your life out before him and say, Lord, take me and do with me what you will. And you ought to do that. Whatever your burden is this morning, bring it and lay it down to God. He's got everything you need. Let's stand together. Our Father in heaven, Lord, it's been good to be in your house, and it's sure been good to be in your word. And Father, this morning as we come to this time of invitation, we ask you, Lord, to deal with us. Oh God, deal with us. Lord, I know there are folks in this room this morning that are dealing with things. They've got heavy burdens. And Lord God, I just pray this morning that we'd bring them to you and we'd lay them down. Lord, if there's somebody in this room this morning that's lost without Jesus, Lord, I pray the Holy Ghost of God had revealed Christ to them. And I just pray that this morning, oh Lord, would it be a grand morning for somebody to be born again. Father, have your will and your way this morning in this invitation, and we thank you for it all. If it's for your glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Suppose God searched through heaven, he couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed, that would buy eternal life for you and me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost.
But I'm so glad he was willing to drink his bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. Oh, I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels. From my hands, pull the nails that torment me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary. Had it not been for the old rugged cross. Had it not been for a band called Jesus. Then forever my soul would be lost. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary. Had it not been for the old rugged cross. Had it not been for a man called Jesus.